Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jacksonville, Florida, where God will always get the glory
and he will always get the honor. For the word of God said, if I be lifted up, he says that he will draw all men unto him. We thank the Lord today because he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. We proclaim today that he has not some power, but he has all power in his hand. Whatever you need from God today, why don't you expect a blessing? Why don't you expect a miracle? Because we serve a God that is in the miracle working business. And I thank God for all that he has done and all that he is about to do. Yes, I am the host of Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We would like to welcome you to the Breakthrough broadcast. We are excited, as always, about this part of our ministry. We thank God today because the topic of the day was going to give you insight. It's going to give you understanding. It's going to give you what you need in order to be sustained. It's going to cause you to go further into the Word of God, and it's going to cause you to want to know more about what God has given us to discuss today on the Breakthrough broadcast. Our topic today will be the gift of speaking, and our study text will be taken from Numbers 11th chapter, 1 Samuel the 10th chapter, Acts 2, 1 Corinthians 12, and also that 14th chapter. But we want to, first of all, to go before the throne of grace. And why don't you come? Why don't you come and go with us as we go before our Father? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, just God, for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, just God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, thy word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this day and hour. Thank you, God, that you've given us another opportunity, God, to teach and to preach your word. Now, Lord, open up the understanding of those that are hearing. God, your word say, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God, your word say, that study show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed, or rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, even as, God, your panelists, the women of God, the men of God, as they rightly divide the word of truth, I pray, God, even now, that you would give them the understanding, our audience, the understanding, God, that they need. Lord, we praise you, God, and we thank you, God, even now. Lord, those that are listening, God, in today, Lord, if it is sick, if they have infirmities in their body, Lord, we pray healing and deliver. We pray, God, that even through this broadcast, Lord God, that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. And this we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Breakthrough broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We would like to take this opportunity to introduce to you our panelists on the Breakthrough broadcast. They are men and women of God that God has called for such a time as this, that are able to rightly divide the word of truth. I would like to introduce to you Miss Helen Cooper, Pastor Francina Shanks, Prophetess Kathy Robinson, and Pastor Eric Cooper. We thank God for the vessels of God, those ambassadors that God has put on the forefront, that God has called in order to give clarity, understanding to his word. And again, our topic today is gifts of speaking. Our central truth is God gives his people supernatural ability to speak for him. And if we will use as a key verse, we will use 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, the 39th and 40th verse. Cover to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. We'll just take it from the King James Version. We would like to share with you our subtopics that we're going to be discussing today. And I want you to get ready. Call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the woman is men of God is back on the air and that they have time to hear what thus says the word of God. Our first topic will be tongues and interpretation. The next one will be prophecy. And our last topic for today would be orderly exercise of gifts. Why don't you get ready as we bring our first panelist to the forefront that she may impart what God has given her in tongues and interpretation. We would like to welcome Ms. Helen Hooper to the break.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and welcome to all our listeners. Hello to our broadcast family, and I'm just glad to be here on today. And like Dr. McCoy said, our first subtopic is tongues and interpretation. I'll be coming from 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, then Acts 2 and 4, and the last verse will be 1 Corinthians 14. 1 and 2. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And we move on over to Acts 2 and 4. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And our last one is 14, 1 and 2. And it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So we see here in 1 Corinthians, when I read the 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, we understand here that Paul had to come back after he planted the church in Corinth. He had to come back. He was getting messages about some things that were going on in the church that was not supposed to be going on. They weren't really right. So he had to redirect the church. And here we see he's talking about tongues and interpretation. And when I read the first one, it's just saying tongue interpretations, and tongues are very valuable to the body of Christ, and interpretation is very valuable to the body of Christ. So we have to be careful how we conduct ourselves when we're speaking in tongues and we're interpreting tongues. So this is what he's saying. He's saying that, you know, there is a proper way, like Dr. McCoy was saying when we first came on, we should do things decent and in order to please God. So when we speak in tongues, we know that heaven, we call it our heavenly language sometimes. And when I have a heavenly language, and to me that is a definite way to get my prayers through. When you have a heavenly language, when you're praying, because that confuses the enemy. The enemy does not know what you're saying. And like the scripture was saying, when we speak in tongues, when we speak in our heavenly language, that just confuses the devil totally, because we're speaking directly to God. And here when Paul was redirecting him, like how you get up and speak in tongues, you have to have interpretation of those tongues. We're really talking about edifying the church. And seeing that being we and he wanted them to know that we are unified, but we also have diversity. So that's what we're talking about here, edifying the church. And when you speak in tongues, you should have, especially when we're in a congregation of people, when we're in churches, we should have someone there to interpret. Because if you're just speaking in tongues, you're not edifying. You're speaking, but no one knows what you're saying. So we should have interpretation of those tongues. And that's what he was saying here. He had to redirect them. You can't just walk somewhere and walk up to people or be out in public just speaking in tongues, and because people not know, they're not going to know what you're saying. So we have to do things decent and in order. That's why in today's churches, men and women of God, and the vessels that he used, we have to teach and we have to preach what is decent and in order when it comes to speaking in tongues and when it comes to edifying the church. And that's what he was saying here, even in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. He said, to another working of miracles, another prophecy. He's just saying that we are a unified body. We are one body, but we have many gifts. There are many gifts in the Spirit, and he gives gifts. And they all work together for the edifying and building up of God's people, building up of the church. And we're supposed to be unified. And there are diversities, because just like your natural body, if somebody cuts off your hands, you're going to have a problem without your hands being there. Everything has to be in order. Your head has to be there. Your arms and your hands are exactly where they're supposed to be. Your feet are there. So if you lose a limb, it's going to be hard for you to maneuver. So that's what he is saying. We have different, there are different gifts, but we have to be unified. Your body has to be unified in order to function. You need your head in order to, for your whole body to function. So that's what Paul is saying. There are different gifts, and we have to know what, first of all, what gifts we have. And we have to operate in those gifts decent and in order. And that's what he's saying here. We can't just walk around and do anything with our gifts. We have to know how to use them. We have to let God use us in the right manner. And when we are speaking in tongues, we need, like I said, we need to have interpretation. Because this is about edifying the church. He is redirecting them and telling them, this is how you are building the church. This is how you are edifying the church. When there is an interpreter there, it lets the congregation or it lets the people know what God is saying to the congregation or what God is saying to his people. And that's what he is doing here. He is just redirecting and telling them, look, this is what we have to do. I've been getting some communication from people, and I've been hearing that, you know, this is going on, but this is the proper way to do it. So we know that when we speak in tongues, like I say, I have a heavenly language. I pray in, because sometimes we don't know what to pray. And when you pray in a heavenly tongue, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, because he knows exactly what to pray to God. He knows exactly what you're trying to say. So he is praying God's perfect will. So when I speak in my heavenly language, when I am praying, I know my prayer is getting through, because I know the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide. He's there to assist me in getting that prayer through and what I am trying to say. So we need to be mindful of how we use our gifts. We need to be mindful of how we speak in tongues. We need to be mindful of everything that Paul is redirecting, what he's saying to the church here, because this is the way, like I said, to build up God's people, to edify God's people. And we have to edify God's people. We have to build and help each other. And this is just the way he's saying it. We have to unify, and we have to get a work done for God. So we have to be decent and in order how we do things. God is an excellent God, so we have to do his work excellent. And that's what he is saying here. We need to learn how to do things decent and in order. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Hooper. We have to learn how to do things in decency and in order. And I just believe when we are in tune to the Word, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we have the Word of God, when we pray and we seek the face of God, I believe that God will give us what we need in order to be in order in the church, wherever the tongues are being used. As Ms. Hooper says, there should always be an interpreter. If you're going to speak in tongues, we thank God for the gift of tongues. And I thank God that God has given his people
that gift to utilize. Yes, it is a blessing to be able to speak in tongues. It's a great gift that God has given us. Just like Ms. Hoover was saying, sometimes when we don't know what to say, God would give us by his Holy Spirit, by the gift of tongues, what we should pray for. And I thank God that the Lord God has put that in the church. No, that gift has not been done away. No, just because of the fact that there are places that does not recognize the gift, and there are some places think that the early church, during the early church, is done away with. No, that is not true. But I thank God that God will give you that gift of speaking in tongues, and also he'll give some the interpretation of tongues, and sometimes he'll give the individual both of them. So it is, as Ms. Hooper said, that it can edify the body of Christ. If there's someone that's speaking in the church and there are many people speaking all at one time and they're speaking in the gift of tongues, and then there's somebody that comes new into the church and they hear them speaking in tongues, they'll think that the whole church is barbarian. That's what is happening. Show me the front door. But I thank God that the Lord teaches us order. God teaches us. We're not just saved, and we're not just hearing the word and not being a doer of the word, but we're here that we can get revelation and understanding from God. I thank God that speaking in tongues is the ability to speak in a language unknown to the speaker as the Spirit enables. And also it is for the purpose, the gift of tongue is to present a message, as Ms. Hoover said, to the church. And this is when it's needed to be carried off with the gift of interpretation. In other words, you got two gifts here. If you're speaking in an unknown language, you need the gift of interpretation. Somebody needs to be able to interpret what you're saying. Other than that, the church is not going to be edified. I don't know about you today, but I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited because God has given us this Word to utilize it, even as he had given it before to the church in the earlier days. It is that Word does not change. But the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and it will be forever. So let's walk a little bit further, and let's talk about even wondering about the gift of prophecy. What does this mean? How can I use this in my life? What gift is that God has given? What is that? So we're going to go to Pastor Francina Chase, and she's going to come to us, and she's going to talk to us from Numbers, the 11th chapter, 25 through 29, 1 Samuel 10, chapter 9 through 11, and Acts 21, 8 through 11. So, as the woman of God speak to you, why don't you take some notes? I want to let God speak to you that you can be able to know what God is saying at this day, at this time, and at this hour. Pastor Saints.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. I'm going to be coming from 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, the 9th through the 11th verse. And here it is. Samuel, the prophet, is prophesying to Saul. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, talking about Saul, King Saul, well, he wasn't a king as yet. God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Verse 11, and it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, Behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Praise God. Well, the prophet Samuel had prophesied to Saul things that were going to take place. And they all came to pass just as the man of God had told him. And now I'm going over to Acts chapter 21 and verses 8 through 11. Praise the Lord for his word. And here it is, Paul the Apostle here. It says in verse 8, and the next day, Paul and his companions, they had went down with Paul's company. They departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Verse 10, and as tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Verse 11, and when he was come unto her, as he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, you see, God has placed this gift in the church, just as he did in the time of Samuel and Moses and others. God, Ray, put the same gift in the church today, prophecy and prophets, praise God. And I want to turn over here to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and it's talking about the different gifts that God has put in the church. You see, the Bible says in 2 Peter that the word of prophecy came by no private interpretation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake and were moved by the Holy Ghost. God is still moving on men and women of God, holy men and women of God, to speak his word, and he has placed that gift of prophecy in the church. Praise the Lord. There are different gifts God has placed in the church, and they operate differently, but it's by the same Spirit. And God has set some, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after their miracles, the gifts of healing, health, governments, diversities of tongues. All apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles. No, they're different gifts. They operate differently, but God has placed them in the church. And I have met people and said the same thing like Dr. McCall was saying. A lot of people think these gifts have ceased. I had a man to tell me last week that God didn't have apostles. That was back in the early church. And I've had people to say there are no prophets. But that is not true. God has placed the gift of prophecy in the church to edify the body of Christ, to reveal to his people what is going to happen before it happens. And there is a difference in prophecy and prophesying. Praise God. You see where Philip the Evangelist had daughters that prophesied. Praise God. So God has set those gifts in the church for the edification of the body of Christ, for his people, till we all come into a perfect unity in the body of Christ. So I thank God that those gifts are operating. The gift of prophecy is operating in the church, and if people will let it, but some places they do not allow it to come forth, the gift. Like Ms. Hooper was saying, they don't allow the tongues, they don't allow the prophecy, and they don't believe that prophecy still exists, but it does. And so I want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Shanks, because we are standing on the promise. We're standing on the Word of God. And we're believing of God's Word concerning His people. And these are the gifts. We're talking about today, speaking gifts. Yes, we talk about Ms. Cooper. Talked about tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we're going to invite you to go back, and we want you to go, and we want you to read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And why don't you read the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, and Acts, the second chapter in entirety, and 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2. And then we went a little further, and Pastor Shanks, Francina Shanks, she took us to prophecy. And I thank God for the gift of prophecy, a speaking gift. And I thank God because prophecy is another speaking gift that has been given by the Holy Spirit. And if you will read 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, really, read the whole entire chapter for your edification. And then it lets us know that prophecy is a message. It's a message that is spoken in a known language that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when it comes, then when it's spoken and that prophecy comes, then it's not like the gift of tongues, where you need the interpretation, but it comes that you can, the church can hear what the woman or the man of God, the prophetess or the prophet, is saying at that particular time. Okay, so God uses the gift of prophecy to foretell the future events at times, things that are going to happen. There have been times that the Lord would give us things, and they we see them, God tell us these things, and then later we'll see these things. There have been several things that God has given and shown us, and then later we'll see these things come to pass. And the things that concerning whether He has shown us, that is the gift of prophecy. That is the gift that God is using for the church. And we should not deny that gift to be used in the church. Why? Because it's for the edification. Why? Because God has given us that gift to be used according to when He's speaking to His people. Sometimes prophecy, it most often often speaks specific messages. Come on. It speaks specific messages that can help a believer mature in Christ. So we have so much that we are hearing today, and I pray, God, that your understanding, that God would give you understanding according to His word. Because when that prophecy comes and someone prophesied to you, it will build you up. It will strengthen you. It will strengthen the believer to help them to mature in Christ Jesus. So these prophecies provide, it provides edification, encouragement, and comfort in times of need. So I don't know about you, but this bless me. The Word of God bless me. And if you're sitting there and you're in your home and you don't quite understand what we are referring to, and maybe your church is not a church that the gifts are being used in your church, then you begin to pray to God that God can give you, and you'll be that one that can be able to go, and you can pray, and God will enlighten you, and that God, those that are in your surroundings, and that you pray for the church, for the leadership, that God will open their eyes
that they too can be able to do even like Saul did. He began to God use him. God used the evangelist. He used his daughters to be able to speak as well. So we just want you to just to encourage you today, and we want you to get what God has given you from this broadcast. So we're going to move on, and we want to go to our last topic. Come on, let's get what God has. I mean, if you had the apple pie and that's your favorite thing to eat, and that's one of your favorite things to eat, I want to know this is better than that. Because it's the word of God. Apple pie or potato pie or whatever it may be, you can eat it and it's done. But if you could take this word, and it will surely change your life. We're going to be talking about orderly exercise of gifts. And we're getting ready to go to a prophetess, Kathy Robinson. And we want you to listen as God gives this woman of God to give you insight on orderly exercise of gift. Prophetess Robinson.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I'm coming from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 and 17 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinct in the sound, how shall it be known what is the pipe or harp? For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye accept, ye utter by the tongue's words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are it may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto himself. I want to go back and look at 4 right quick when the word says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. No matter what our title is, we are always to know that what God has given us, it is to edify the church and not ourselves. And in the body of Christ, it has been a problem with people and with some edifying themselves by speaking in tongues and even speaking in certain high languages, and they preach right over the people's heads. If a person preached the whole message to you in tongues, you will leave out of there the same way you came in, and you have gotten nothing. Why? Because if there isn't anyone in there to interpret the tongues, how can you receive anything? But when prophecy comes to warn us. If prophecy comes to build us up. Prophecy comes to teach us. And actually, it reveals the mind of Christ. God revealed his mind through his prophet, and they in return give it unto the people. So when people think that these things have been done away with, speaking in tongues and prophesying and not believing the prophet or prophetess, they're in error, because the Bible says that God revealed his mind of what he's thinking to his prophet. And God never does anything without speaking it first. So therefore, if you were going to battle and the sound of the trumpet was made and you couldn't distinguish what sound it was, you would just be still standing there while everyone else is going to battle if one had spoken in tongues and you didn't have the interpretations of tongues, nor was there anybody there to interpret tongues. Prophecy brings about revelation. It gives you knowledge. It's sound doctrine that you can be sure that it is the word of God. The topic of this is orderly exercise of gifts. God is not the author of confusion. So if everyone was in there speaking in tongues and nobody was there to interpret it, then the people would be confused. But if I prophesy corporately or to an individual, it will be well understood because I will be speaking in English. It's almost like if I go to China and someone in China begin to speak to me in Chinese, then I don't know Chinese, then I don't understand what they're saying. But with prophecy, it's plain. You understand the mind of Christ. You understand what God is saying to you and what God wants to do for you. And so prophesying, it's a gift, but a prophet is, that's where you operate in the office of it. But when you are spirit-filled, God can use you to give a prophetic word to someone. You never know how it can change their lives. And these things have not been done away with. Paul say, I don't wish you not speak in tongues. I just want you to know that it's more profitable and it's more beneficial to the people in the sanctuary if you was prophesying to them rather than speaking in tongues, because they wouldn't understand what you are saying because it would be like a foreign language. So we have a zeal for gifts. But he said, don't even worry about the gifts, because you're born with the gifts. And you're born with the gifts already. But we use prophecy to excel to the edifying of the church, that the church may know the mind of God. And so it's a blessing to have prophecy and to have prophets, because we need that. And I believe we need tongues too, because that confused the mind of the enemy when we're praying in tongues, because he can't stop your praying if he don't know what your praying is. But prophecy is very important, because it reveals the mind of Christ. And in this day and time, people need prophecy now more than ever with everything that is going on in the world today. It gives you edge on what's going on. It helps you be one step ahead of the enemy, because God will reveal it, the future. He will give you a now word that's a right now word. So I've seen prophecy cause people not to commit suicide when a prophet is in a ministry and they ask the person to come up. They don't talk to them in tongues, but they tell them in their ear, I see a suicidal spirit on you. And then you're able to pray for that person and to bind that thing up. So prophecy is very important, because it reveals so much to the body of Christ. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Prophetess Robinson. We thank God, because we need all of the gifts. We need prophecy. As the prophet said, prophecy reveals the mind of Christ.
And when you look at the Word of God, instead of the Word of God, prophecy is found throughout the Old Testament. We're looking and we're reading today from also the New Testament as well, but you can find it also in the Old Testament. I wish that we had time to elaborate on that, but we're going to move on, and we're just going to thank God because we want to continually talk about the last topic, which is orderly exercise of gifts. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Eric Hooper to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Pastor Hooper.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to all the listeners and Radio Land, God bless you all, and to all on the panel, God bless you all. It is truly an honor to be here today, and I'm going to go ahead and continue on for, actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 18 through 33, dealing with orderly exercise of gifts. And verse 18 speaks of, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I had rather speak with five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also. 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will, they not hear me, said the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, and one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And we'll stop right there for a moment, verses 18 to 25. And dealing with the orderly exercise of gifts. Paul, in verse 18, said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. And he was talking to the Corinthians church, and he was saying, in one scripture, he calls himself the chief apostle. So that means he's like one of the head, one of the lead. And most people say that apostles don't exist, and then we know that's not true. Also, I guess one definition that many men and women of God give, that apostle is one that has seen the Lord. Because if you look back in the scriptures, how it talks about when the disciples, they followed Jesus, they actually physically saw the Lord. And since that time, through giftings, through gifts, spiritual gifts, God has always visited or sent, or the Lord himself has visited men and women of God to give them, you know, instructions, directions, and things of that nature. And that even itself is prophecy. It's prophetic itself because it's talking about something. Prophecy, when you're talking about prophecy, it's talking about foretelling something that is to come to pass that's of God's will for an individual or for people. So, therefore, we know that because we have experienced these things of our own, you know, on our own accounts. I'm pretty sure we all have testimonies where we have had encounters with the Lord, whether through dreams or visions, by the Spirit, prophetically or whatever, but God does not call his people into his kingdom, which we cannot see with our natural eye, and does not have a way or a means of giving them guidance. It's through prophecy that we do get guidance, you know. And the thing about it is we have to understand that prophecy does exist because it's God's way of communication, it's God's way of guiding, you know, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So therefore we're gonna go on from that. But dealing with this matter about Paul saying he thanked God that he speaks with tongues more than all of the Corinthian church. And what he was saying, if you look at that, although he had the gift of tongues and he had these heavenly visions and revelations, Paul didn't think of himself more highly than he ought to think. because for one, we knew he had a message of Satan that God had applied to him to keep him humble, to buffet him in his flesh. But besides that, the whole idea is not about what God has given you, because it's not for you. When God gives you gifts, it's for, like the other speakers have been saying, it's for the body. It's to keep the body edified. It's to keep the body built up. You know, there may be a portion of the body or someone in the body that may be weak, that may be, you know, that may be needing an answer, needing direction. They may be dealing with confusion or sickness or disease. And like the sister said earlier, God can send a word. And when God sends a word, all you need is one word from God to change your life. And when God sends a word to an individual or through a vessel to an individual, believe me, it brings forth life and it brings forth hope. And it also brings forth restoration to that person's soul. It's like a revival that takes place in one. Even if you look outside of the body of Christ or the realm of the spirit, how things operate, if you're just living an everyday life, if you didn't have any money and your bills need to be paid and you're not professing salvation or whatever the case may be, and somebody comes to you and they give you money, what happened is your need was just met. So therefore, you're revived again. You're no longer carrying that weight. You're no longer in despair. You're no longer looking to it where all things are coming to an end. But it's somewhat of like you've been revived, or your prayer has been answered, or you've gotten solution to your problem. So therefore when we talk about prophecy, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's what God does. God sends His word through His chosen vessels to keep His people's faith to a certain level. They continue to believe and continue to walk or to run this race that God has allowed us to come in through Christ. So prophecy does exist, but it takes your faith to believe. It also takes one to go and to take time and to get to know God's word and to learn His ways and to know His voice. Many people are running ahead of God, or they're going before their time. But if they would just slow down, especially for those who don't believe, 9 times out of 10, when people don't believe a certain gift that's mentioned in the Bible does not no longer exist, it's because something that person has been, they probably have experienced something, a bad experience in that situation or operating that gift, or somebody has misused a gift towards them. So therefore, that's caused them to either to close that door of their heart, to not allow or cause their faith to be hindered, or they don't want to even deal with that because of the mess that it made in their life. But if you believe all the other parts of the Bible, why don't you believe the part that talks about prophecy? You see? And so you have to go back and look at why a person says, or why he or she says, this or that does no longer exist, but yet everything else in the Word does exist. The Bible says how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was good for back then, it's also good for now, because He is the same forever. And forever is continual, it's eternal, it's everlasting. So therefore, that should clarify that for some of those who are even under ministries where they have certain beliefs. I've also encountered people who said that they didn't believe that they're no longer prophets, you know. But we know that's not true from our own experiences, amen. But and this is Paul is talking about how that he would rather speak as far as prophesying instead of speaking in tongues, because you know that tongues, as you mentioned earlier, tongues is what it edifies you. But after you've been edified, it's your reasonable service to turn and to also be your brother's keeper, amen. So therefore, we want to make sure that when we're edified, that we make sure that the body maintains edified, because this body has to continue to move until the day the Lord returns. And then when the Lord returns to receive His bride, which is the body of Christ, then we can see strong, because now that which is perfect would have arrived, that which is perfect would have come. And then because the Bible talks about how we know in part and we also prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect appears, then you know that which is in part is done away with. So until then, you know, we have to make sure that we're doing our part, that we're holding up, that we're maintaining, we're holding up the body, we're keeping the body built up, amen. Okay, and let's go to verse 26 through 33 real quick. And he says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. And he says, let all things be done unto the edified. See, that goes to show you right there. Everybody has something to give. And even in the church, even the body of Christ or the local church, you know, the physical church, everybody has something to offer, but it needs to be done in a certain order, in a certain fashion. Because remember, you're in God's kingdom, and where God's kingdom is, there's order. Even if you look in a natural realm, where you look over in England, where they have the king and the queen, their service, there are people who are connected to them, and there's a certain rank or a structure that they follow for things to get done, for things to be effective and to flow smoothly. So if it's that way in the natural, how much more should it be that greater in the spiritual for God? Amen. Being that he created everything. So we must remember that as God anoints us, as even as we go through certain things, some people are, you may have certain things, certain people in ministry, or you may have found or encountered that are unruly. It's because sometimes people go through things and they experience certain tragedies, which they deem to be tragedies. But if you go through things with the right mindset, you'll see that everything that God permitted to happen was for your good and not for your bad. And some things that we experience that we go through that cause us severe pain is only because of our disobedience or our stubbornness or our failure to yield oneself to the Spirit of God and his direction or his correction. So sometimes when you see people in the body of Christ, they're walking in a state of unruliness, or they're thinking it's all about them, it's simply because of those reasons. And God will use someone like you or myself or someone else who's humble enough, who will submit themselves to God and do what he says, they're going to speak a word unto them, you know. And those things are very necessary, because that would help bring a person back into order. Because if you look at your body, your toe isn't doing its own thing. If you're walking forward and this your pinky toe just decides to take a left turn and the part of your body, it can't do that, because the body has to go together. The body has to go wherever the entire body is going, amen. So we have to be mindful of those things. And when we see something out of order and we know God's word, we ought to go to those people in love and to help bring them back into a place where they can flow and alive and can really be blessed. And the body of Christ itself is really being an example to the world. Amen. And one last thing, and I'll be done. excuse me. As we were talking, everybody has something else. Then verse 27 says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, that by a course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Because remember, it's all about the church as a whole, not about the individual. Amen. And let him speak, and let him speak to himself and to God, and let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And look at that, how it talks about that all may learn. We all can learn something from one another, because we all have different experiences, and God has brought all of us out of different things. We all have certain desires and interests in different fields of life. But through those things, God allowed us to go, and at a certain time, he called us into the body. But we all bring something that we all can benefit from if we would just do things in a certain fashion and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Because when we do that, we push the devil out of the body. We push the devil out of the church, where he can no longer run rampant this way and that way, causing the church to be ineffective. Amen? Because we don't want to be, we don't want to be a body, just like if you think about the children of Israel, for example. We don't want to be a group of people that's saying we believe God, and yet we're going in a circle, as the children of Israel did in the days of old, in the Old Testament. You know, many of those people died off, you know, in the wilderness because, you know, their disobedience, their murmuring, their complaining, and things of that nature. So we want to make sure that we're constantly moving forward in God, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But by doing that, we must always acknowledge that everybody has something that they can learn from everybody else, because everybody's coming. Everybody has something to bring to the table, because God invested into everyone that he created. There's nobody here, even out there in radio land, there's nobody, anybody that's listening, there's no one that is alive that God has allowed to be here today that God did not invest anything to. You just have to begin to take your time, seek the face of the Lord, get yourself into a local church or body of believers that preaches Christ, and allow yourself to be planted and to grow. And through time, as the Bible talks about how Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, even in walking with Christ himself, God will begin to reveal things to you by the spirit. And then you will begin to know, just as Samuel did when he was a child, when he was with Eli. And at a certain time, his mother had given him back to Samuel. Given him back to Eli, but she promised God if he gave her a man child that she would dedicate him back to him. And by doing it, by him learning the ways in the temple, at a certain time, when he became of a certain age, of a certain understanding, then the Lord began to speak to him audibly by voice. And so what you have to do is, because there's certain things that you have to just wait on, and then when you wait and you stay praying in God, you have to remember that God will begin to reveal himself to you, and then you can walk in the order and the path that God has ordained. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We'd like to thank Pastor Eric for giving us that discussion on orderly exercise of God, because it is the Word of God. And God loves us so much that he wants us to know the truth. We shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. We would like to, at this time, thank God for our topic, gifts of speaking. We would like to thank Miss Helen Cooper, Pastor Francina Shanks, Prophetess Kathy Robinson, and Pastor Eric Cooper for being our guest today and being part of the Breakthrough Broadcast. We thank God for these men and women of God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, God. We thank you for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done. We thank you, God, for the great and the mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for bringing us this or by faith. Lord, we thank you, God, for writing the Bible, the word of truth, by giving understanding, revelation of your word. Today, God, we thank you, God, for the millions of people, God, that are hearing, God, that will be profit by the word of God, by God, the men and women of God, by that anointing that's in their lives. Lord, we ask thee, Lord, even now, God, to cause the word of God continue to be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their pathway. I pray, God, even as the broadcast, Lord God, is going forth today, Lord, cause the men and women of God, those that don't, that are not saved, God, I pray, God, that you will save, and God, that you will deliver, and God, that you will make them free, God, that they can too, God, be able, God, to be used by you, Lord God, and God, that every need, God, will be supplied. God, your word say, ask and it shall be given. You said to seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. You said, the Lord, that we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said, it shall be moved. So, Lord God, we speak to every mountain, every situation, every sickness, every disease, Lord God. God, every enemy, every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of oodle boodle, black and white magic, God. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that it go into the very pits of hell. God, those that are not saved, God, we pray even now that they'll say yes to your will and yes to your way. God, you said we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God, that you raised up from the dead. You said that we shall, God, be saved. So I ask thee, God, to save right now, because, God, you're able to save to the uttermost. And, Lord, we thank you, and, God, we praise you, God, for each panel member. God, bless and keep them is our prayer. You have been listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy and the Breakthrough Panel. Please join us on next Saturday at the same time as the Lord God revisits
time after time, as he gives you clarity, as he gives you wisdom, as he gives you knowledge, and as he gives you understanding. I pray peace upon you in Jesus' name. May God bless you, is our prayer.